Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind?
That just happened.
Welcome, everybody. It's hour three of In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. We're also on the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter, at Bogman Sports. Hour three, you guys know what that means. I'm joined by Casey Bubba. You can follow him on the Twitter, at BDNtrick. Bubba, what is going on, man?
Not much, my friend. Just another beautiful week. Tons of football, baseball talk. You got college basketball trying to make things work. So all the fun stuff and things in the sports world kicking up for us.
So I asked Welsh earlier in the show, and I'll ask you here too, big Thanksgiving celebration, or do you prefer the small gathering for Thanksgiving, or maybe just holidays in general?
Usually it's small because too much family is never a good time, but just watch the Griswolds. They'll tell you right out the gate. Too much family is a problem, but I will say big gatherings, like when I don't go to visit families on Thanksgiving, obviously not happening this year. But there's a group of us that they go to their grandmother, they call her Nana, and pretty much all friends of the area that aren't going to family, don't have gatherings, get to come there. So it's usually 25 to 30 of us, but it's like all a bunch of friends, and there's like some kids running around and some older people. It's a mixed bag, but you have a bunch of people your age, basically, and it's a lot more fun. Everyone, there's like eight turkeys. It's a massive gathering,
man.
And that's a lot of fun. But if there are that many family members, nothing good comes from that, because then you start getting politics or religion or something talked about that should not be talked about. And someone's MFing someone. And next thing you know, it's
the
just
cops
like
are called.
Then there's cranberry on someone's face. It's just not a good situation. And give me the small gathering, which most of us are going to have this year.
I feel like I've seen that Thanksgiving play out on Cops a bunch of times. You know what
yes.
I mean? Like
probably from Alabama. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. I don't know if I have 25 family members, to be completely honest. Like,
true. I don't think I do either.
I could probably add them up and get there, but we would be reaching a third, fourth cousins. You know, we go way down the line there. But
you know, Texas. So.
Yeah. There are a lot of people in Texas. So, but we're going to take a break. When we come back, it's going to be me and Bubba. We're going to talk about some baseball, a lot of trade rumors going on in this offseason. Of course, we're going to do our bets and all that good stuff. So stick with us. We'll be right back. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
It's In This League.
Buckle up, buckaroo.
All night.
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Follow my buddy KC Bubba at BDNTrick. We are having fun. I hope everyone enjoyed their holiday and you enjoyed the football that was played and all the good stuff. And but we got some baseball rumors going on in the offseason right now, Bubba. And lots of rumors right now. The most recent one is Benny Snell. So do you think this job...
Wait, what did you just say?
I said, I did it. Benny Snell.
You homer.
I said before. So Welsh and I were talking about it earlier in the show. And I said, I almost said Benny Snell. Like, and now I'm an idiot. I said Benny Snell. Blake Snell. Benny Snell scores 1 yard touchdowns. That's what he does. Blake Snell for the A's as of right now has popped up in a bunch of trade rumors. I am really surprised this because, you know, Charlie Morton just walked. He just went to Atlanta and your team was just in the World Series. Why are you trying to dismantle it? I don't understand why you did. You're a team that needs fans. You need fans to show up, and they're going to be allowed to in Florida. You know, they're going to be allowed to show up. It's not like California. So, you know, say what you want about the restrictions or not, whatever. I'm not here to discuss that. I'm saying people will be there in Florida. They will not in California unless, you know, by the time baseball season comes around, the vaccines all over the country. So doubtful. That is very doubtful. But it just doesn't make sense to me for you guys, for the Rays, to tear it down. So what do you think about this trade and where do you think the possible destinations are for him?
It's very odd and it makes you wonder in part because, you know, he's so young, still 28, former Cy Young, showed good stuff, didn't get really through six innings ever, it felt like. So that's a question. You maybe wonder if that whole quick hook thing or that people were arguing about in the playoffs, was there something done in the locker room that made the management go, maybe we don't need Blake Snell around right now? Because I'm just looking at all scenarios here. Because when you look at the projected rotation next year, it's Snell, Glasnow, Yarbrough, Josh Fleming, and Brent Honeywell, who missed all of last year with injury. So I don't know about you, but there's some holes in that rotation. So I'm very surprised by that. If you're going to see him go anywhere, you'd imagine he's staying out of the American League for the most part. Unless he goes to maybe Houston, but you wouldn't want to be trading to another contender, so that kind of makes things difficult. Maybe Seattle. Seattle could be a big one. They need pitching. They have a lot of talented bats. I saw someone float around Kyle Lewis as an option. That'd be an interesting trade because, you know, what do the Rays love? Lots of outfielders.
They do.
They're good at that. So
well, one of them is about to have a problem, it looks like, Randy Rosarena.
Yes. Oh, yikes. Man. I would love to talk about that. I'm trying to wait and give the benefit of the doubt on the situation
because
it's in certain countries where there's a lot of shadiness going on. So I'm trying to wait on exactly everything to take place there because that'd be just a detrimental blow to a lot of things and just the justice system and a good human being to begin with. But I would imagine Seattle's an interesting one. Otherwise, National League, the Cubs are always in the rotation discussion. The Pirates, you know, the Rays love trading with the Pirates, so that's always fun. The Cardinals are always, like, the whole AL or NL Central is looking for pitching. So that could be a very fun one. If the Rays, and the Rays like trading for, like, not just, like, one for one, they like getting bulk. Yeah. So even teams like the Brewers are in play because their farm system's not great, but they can give them, like, four guys. So it could get interesting.
Well said, San Diego. You think that's an option?
Man, I guess so. It's just every time you think that they're done, they keep making moves. We've seen them make moves before, Margot, that trade, Hunter Renfroe, all that kind of stuff. So the phone lines definitely work between those two teams. If you threw him in that rotation, you're already hoping for like Mackenzie Gore and others to have a chance. It would take them out of it. But, you know, with Clevinger going down for the year, that could be a good move.
Carlos Correa, his name has been floated. The Astros are insisting that they're not fielding calls or whatever, but there's a reason that this crops up, and it's usually because they are fielding calls.
Let's get a feeler.
Exactly. Just let's see how many teams rush to the phone to throw us an offer. Do you think this is more contract related stuff or more let's get this clown off our team?
I think it's probably more contract just because Houston doesn't seem like they have a conscience on anything for the most part.
Come on. But they got to act like they do now, right?
Well, you know, they just plug their ears because they can't hear anything but trash cans. So it's pretty, they can't hear anything around them. It's very simple. They mind their own business. They never worry about anything. Obviously, nothing bugs them. You have to stick your tongue out at them because they can't hear you. So many things like that. But I think it's more the contract stuff. It's we're seeing it with the Cubs. We're going to talk about that in a minute. These teams that built young and had great runs, and they're not done yet, but they've given Altuve money. Springer's a free agent. They're talking about maybe bringing him back, maybe not. Bregman's getting paid. You're going to have to start paying some other guys or letting them go as well. And I think that's just kind of what we're seeing here with Correa. It's a guy that we know is very talented, but he can't stay on the field. So it's do we try to get something for him now before he's gone and just try to get a draft pick? What do you do? So you put the feelers out and see what you can do because they have a deep farm system. They got guys that can fill positions, probably not the Carlos Correa caliber, but they have options. So I think there's a legit possibility here. I just don't think they're going to be like urgent to move him where Blake Snell seems like a legit possibility because that's the Rays.
Yeah, I mean, the Rays are crazy. They'll do whatever, whenever. So you're absolutely right about that one. The Astros seem a little more methodical. So, I'm with you on that. If you had to pick, if you can only choose to keep one, would you keep Correa or would you keep Springer?
I'd keep Springer just because we've seen him do it more often. I know he's been banged up too, and he's older than Correa, which is sketchy. But shortstop's so deep now. Like if you just kind of put your fantasy hat on for a minute, there's a lot more replacement value at shortstop. If you have to go sign a guy or trade somewhere else or whatever, there's a lot more of that out there than outfield three per team and what Springer does leading off for you on that ball club. I think I'd have Springer.
Yeah, I mean, they could shift Bregman right back to shortstop. So that wouldn't even be an issue. The other guy that's been showing up on trade rumors, I didn't want to talk about this with the Welsh, it upset him too much. Chris Bryant, his favorite player, has been involved in some trade rumors. I guess the Nationals are kicking the tires. And the Cubs had talked about tearing it all down now that Theo's gone. Why? Like, what is... Theo's not the on-the-field product. I that stuff I don't understand. And I don't know that that's why, but it seems like there's a weird correlation there. Do you think Chris Bryant gets moved?
I think they want to really badly. It depends on what you get. And the tear it down part, they need to tear it down, yes, not because of Theo, because they just can't afford to sign all these guys. That's what it's going to be. Like there is a bunch. Like it's worse than the Astros situation that are coming off the books here pretty soon. And if you let them all start walking, it can get real interesting real quick. So that's the biggest thing. If you can deal Bryant, do what you can. I think he's broken. He's not the guy he once was. Last year was much worse. Last year was really, really bad. Like, he's not that bad. But at the same time, that shoulder injury, I think it's just really messed him up. I don't think he's fully been back from that when it comes to power production. Plus, when he's leading off, he's not going to be the same guy that you're drafting him for and wanting him to be. Now, if he's in the middle of the order, sure, things can be good. The Cubs as a whole offensively was just a mess last year. So maybe we just kind of take a step back and see if they can bounce back here in 2021. But I'm not a big Chris Bryant fan right now. So if I'm the Cubs, I try to deal him and get what I can. And the Nats could definitely use someone like that. If they are a believer in what Chris Bryant can do, they can definitely use that bat in that lineup with Soto and Trey Turner and others there because they're getting depleted pretty fast over there as well.
Where else would you like to see him go, or do you think there's a possibility for him to land? I mean, we know that the Jays are they're after all the bats. It seems like every rumor that pops up, you know, Real Muto was in the rumor the other day for them. I mean, any bat that comes up, the Jays seem to have interest because they think they want to add 2 to 3 stars on their team. So do you think that's a potential landing spot, or where else do you see Chris Bryant fitting?
Well, the Jays make sense too, but they should also look to sign some pitching. They have a lot of offense already, so that's an interesting move there. St. Louis every year is rumored for third basemen. Arenado's rumored there again this year. Bryant's been rumored there, but you're not going to get the Cubs and Cardinals trading each other, so that's not going to happen.
That's true.
It's a great landing spot, but it's never going to happen.
That's very true. Well, we got to take a break. When we come back, we'll finish up this baseball discussion, and then I want to hear your thoughts on Mike McCarthy's inspirational tactics. So we'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid.
FanDuel.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Yeah, man, I'll tell you what, that dang old...
In this league.
Talk about www.com, you made you go click, 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 click. It's real easy, man.
I don't know what you're saying, but that's what's going on, yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. It is In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined by Casey Bubba at BD Antrick. Casey, please tell everybody where they can find all your great work on the interwebs.
On the interwebs, yes. Follow me on Twitter at BD Antrick. Benched with Bubba podcast coming once or twice a week for you. Doing positional previews right now and talking some best ball and some other things to get you ready for 2021. So go check that out, Benched with Bubba. Going to be doing some giveaways here for the month of December. So you're going to want to listen to that if you don't already. Also, I'm writing DFS content and some season-long content for rotoballer.com. My rankings are at Fantasy Sports Degens. I have a golf podcast, Always Pressing PGA DFS, and much, much more. So check me out on Twitter. You'll get all the stuff and things there.
Before we dive back into the baseball stuff real quick, what's going on with the golf? It's Curry and what is happening? This is in a couple weeks too, isn't it?
Yeah, because December, there's like a tournament, the Mayakoba, and then there's like a Hero Classic, the top 18 in the world's Tiger Woods tournament. So there's really nothing crazy in the month of December. It's kind of their off time. So it's the match three. We saw match one was Tiger versus Phil. Match two was Tiger, Phil, Peyton, and Tom Brady. So now the match three, so it'll be a charity deal again at a pretty awesome golf course. It's Phil Mickelson, Charles Barkley, Steph Curry, and I just blanked on the fourth one. So it's definitely not what people were hoping it would be. Let's put it that way. No, and Tiger's not even back, but it'll be fun. Like anytime Charles is on a mic, it's going to be entertaining, but it's not what you'd expect. But it gives you something to do in the down season, raise some money. So it's good.
I already heard there's been some smack talk between Curry and Chuck.
Oh, yeah. Chuck's going to give it to him big time because Curry can play. Like he's actually a pretty
Curry's
good golfer.
Really good. Like he's super competitive too, from what I've heard. You know.
Yeah, basically the minor league of golf is the Korn Ferry Tour, and he's played on a couple of them out here in California. He helped sponsor one of them, and he hasn't been close to winning, but he's held his own out there. So it's been pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Well, I just wanted to check in on. See, you're my golf guy. I check in with you. These are all the updates I get. I'm not looking on the internet for it, so it's obviously not my thing. We were cut short a little bit. We had to take a break. We're talking about possible destinations for Chris Bryant. We brought up Washington. I brought up Toronto just because they're tied to so many. Anyone that's a trade rumor or free agent, they're trying to add stars. What you know, you said they need pitching. I completely agree with you. But you know who. They'll take what they can get, it feels like. Yeah. So that's always weird too when teams do that. I feel like that almost never works.
No.
But are there any other good landing spots you think for Chris Bryant? What else do you have?
Yeah, there's two that stuck out to me when I was looking during the break. The Dodgers, because they're already rumored to get Arenado or to be trying to get Arenado. Yeah, Justin Turner, a free agent. I would hate it because I want Edwin Rios to play every day. But Chris Bryant going there, that's what the Dodgers do, Boggs. They just make us angry.
They need to move Edwin Rios. Yeah. He's clearly not going to play every day for the
Dodgers. Let him go to Colorado. So Sure. If you're going to get Arenado, trade Rios that direction.
Please. Yeah. Let's do that.
Okay. And then the last spot that makes a lot of sense to me, like a really lot of sense, the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, the Braves. I mean, is Donaldson still, is he a free agent or is he still there?
He's in Minnesota.
God, I for whatever reason, Josh Donaldson is stuck in my head in Atlanta forever. I don't know why. I know he's in Minnesota.
Yeah,
I had him the whole year hitting 222 or whatever he hit. I don't know why I keep doing that. This is the problem in this time of year.
You do too many sports, Boggs.
Yeah, it's college football is, you know, winding down here for me. This is a championship week for CFF players. Then the NFL is ramping up to playoff time. I got the NBA starting too. And that was before recording this, I was working on NBA sheets for the last 3 hours. So, yeah, you're right. I do too much, but, I should know. Good Lord, Josh Donaldson. Are there any other, big name free agent moves or trades that you have, seen kicked around in this, off season for baseball?
Not a ton yet. Like, you know, I just saw today the Giants are interested in John Lester. Like, okay, whatever. That seems like a bad idea, but whatever. Like Charlie Morton going to Atlanta, Drew Smiley going to Atlanta. Those are interesting moves for the Braves. But there's nothing too crazy yet. I'm actually surprised there's already been signings. I figured it'd be really slow and cold and we'd be waiting on things. But I guess guys are just trying to get their money before the holidays. But nothing too crazy just yet.
All right. So Welsh and I already talked about this earlier in the show, so I don't want to spend a ton of time on it, but I wanted to get your quick take on what you thought about Mike McCarthy's inspirational watermelon smashing. Did you see this, how this went down, and what did you think about it?
Well, if anything says Mike McCarthy, it's let's smash watermelons. So I get that one there. It's just, this one's bizarre. It's, you know, it's a guy that's been excited about running the ball a lot when he has a guy like Aaron Rodgers in the past. He somehow wins football games. Well, that's right, because he had Aaron Rodgers in the past to bail him out. But now he doesn't have that with Dak gone. He's using everything he can to make this bad football team look good. So I don't know. He went full Gallagher. And going full Gallagher usually isn't the answer. So I don't know.
Yeah, we talked about that. We talked about the reason that it worked is probably because none of the guys on the team are old enough to remember Gallagher. Like,
yeah, did they each get like a trash bag and like goggles to sit in the front row? Or how yeah, did that
they're
go?
In the splash zone.
I know.
Yeah, it's SeaWorld and Gallagher shows. So yes. I never went to a Gallagher show. I was telling Welsh I met him. I'll tell you that story off air. The listeners have already heard it, of course. But my buddy went to a Gallagher show one time, and he said he was sitting way, way back, but he did get hit in the leg with a matzo ball. So I was like, he's down to matzo balls. That's not even produce. Okay.
Wow. That's good to know he's kosher. That's good.
Well, of course. And it's good to know that he's dipping into the new jokes, know, the matzo balls instead of smashing watermelons, of course. So
many ways I want to take this, but we got to keep it for radio content here.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right. Well, let's take a look back at what happened last week. And before we dive in on these NFL bets. And last week, I mean, it felt like that two for the money, you know what I mean? Like where Al Pacino is grown men calling crying. You know, that's how it felt, you know. 3-13. My guy Gary Davenport said he went 1-13 against the spread.
Oh my God.
It was a rough week for a lot of people. Hey, look though, you 6-6 against the spread, 5-6 on the over unders. So hovering right around 500. I was 6-6 and 6-5. Welsh was 6-6 and 7-4. So we were not down this week. We weren't great, but we were hovering right around 500.
It was a nasty week last week overall. Like, it was some weird football.
Did you know that between me picking a parlay, Welsh picking a three-team parlay, and you picking a three-team parlay, one of the 9 selections was correct. Welsh got Washington minus 1.5. Mm-hmm. That's it between the 9 that we picked. You had New Orleans, Atlanta over. In fairness, we did pick that game before we knew Taysom Hill was a starting quarterback.
I won't even get into it. Falcons offense, you deserve to be all fired, all of you.
Yeah, right, right. And Miami, I mean, your boys choked against Denver. Yes. I didn't see that coming. Nobody did. That was my lock. And yeah. Tampa Bay -3.5. You and I were different on that one, and I went with L.A., and they ended up winning straight up, which – I mean, I picked, but I don't know that I really believed in. They're just playing better than the Bucks right now, so that wasn't that shocking. So you're still doing great on the season.
You mentioned the Miami game, and I have to go here because I want your opinion on it.
Of course.
I was golfing, and so I was watching the game on my phone and everything, keeping track. And when I saw the message come through that Tua was benched for Fitzpatrick, I got very angry because this is why I didn't want Tua to play in the first place, that they're not going to trust Tua to play win or lose. I know he's getting crushed. He's getting sacked a lot, you know, safety, whatever. I don't care. It sets a bad precedent in my mind for the young kid.
I understand what you're saying. I think the reason you bench him is because you're still in the playoff hunt and you got to try to find a way to win that game. And it was clear that Tua wasn't going to do it. So, you know, they said, hey, look, we're going to go right back to him. And I think that is at least showing enough confidence in the kid to say, hey, look, you just got to understand. And I think Tua gets this too. I don't think he's, you know, he's not a sensitive Sally. You know, this isn't benching Aaron Rodgers or anyone like that. You know, someone that would take it personally when you do it, like Joe Flacco. When Joe Flacco got benched, he sensitive Sally, you know. So it's not that at all. So I think that he's going to be okay and they're going to be moving forward. It's just the Broncos got him. You know, the Broncos do that. And going to Denver sometimes can be weird. Joe seemed to fear the Broncos this week as well. So let's get a couple games in here before the break to our last couple segments. And let's start out with the Arizona Cardinals on the road against the Patriots, Bubba. They are 2.5-point road favorites. The over is 49.5 as it sits right now. Kyler Murray coming in with a little bit of a banged up shoulder, but they'll give him the goofballs. He'll be fine. What do you think about that game?
Yeah, it's pretty crazy thinking Arizona favored on the road in New England of all places.
Right. But in November.
2020, folks. 2020. Right. Yeah, give me Arizona. And I really weird because I took Houston at home +2.5 last week. New England's just not that good right now. They're going to win a few games. I get it. They're going to do things. They're just not that good overall. Cam Newton knows how to screw things up when he wants to. Damian Harris, now that you know, James White's more involved with Burkhead here, but Moschel's coming back. There's a lot going on there. Not a stable receiving core, no consistency there. Give me Arizona. They still have too many holes in the defense. Give me the over in that game. I got Arizona by at least a field goal.
Yeah, I lockstep Arizona and the over as well. So we're going to hit a break. When we come back, we're going to finish up the rest of these bets for week 12. So stick with us. We'll be right back after this. It's In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I'm back!
Welcome back, everybody. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. Get on the grid. Please check out the ITL Patreon if you would. Patreon.com/ITL Army, where you can support everything we do. We got basketball, baseball, football, college football, minor league baseball, secret shows, doing a Mandalorian podcast. It is so much fun over at In This League right now. We are talking bets and spreads and games for week 12 with Casey Bubba. Follow him on the Twitter at BDNTrick. And you picked Arizona and the over. The next game we have on this list, Carolina and Minnesota. Minnesota is a 4.5-point favorite. We do not have a line right now because as of recording time, Teddy Bridgewater's status is up in the air. So we will not pick this line on another Carolina game that's 2 weeks in a row. But how do you see this one playing out?
Hey, did you hear that Carolina's got like the worst run defense in the face of the planet? Did you hear that Minnesota well, has?
They're not Houston. Dalvin.
True. So the second worst. Have you heard about this guy named Dalvin Cook?
Yes, I've heard of him. This
is going to be bad. Give me Minnesota big. Minnesota big. This isn't going to be the Detroit Lions facing Carolina. That's not the way it's going to work. Minnesota wins big in this one.
Yeah, I also picked Minnesota. I'm not nearly as confident as you are because Carolina's been playing. They've been playing well, and Minnesota's defense is bad. So I think that they can keep pace. And if Carolina somehow gets up and forces Minnesota to throw, we know Kirk Cousins always, you know, it always is up for a terrible game. You know what I mean?
No Adam Thielen. So that makes it interesting.
Yeah. Well, most likely not Adam Thielen. So can't say no yet. So because he had a positive and negative. So the thing it might be who knows? We'll see. We'll see when we get there on Sunday. But moving forward here, how about the Cleveland Browns on the road against Jacksonville? Another road favorite, 6.5 point road favorite for Cleveland. 49 is the over in that one. Seems like they're going to bring the weather with them. There might be a little bit of rain, but not anything crazy like in Cleveland. So Jacksonville rain is different than Cleveland rain in November. That's for sure. Yep. So how do you see this one going?
This is one of the handful of games where I'm just like, ew, this is disgusting. But I'm gonna take Jacksonville plus 6.5. Like Cleveland's gonna win this game. They're gonna improve like 8-3 on the season, I think, or 9-3 on the season, whatever it is now. It's ridiculous what they're gonna be, but I think Jacksonville finds a way to keep it within 6.5. And I'm gonna take the under. So Jacksonville on the under.
I took the under too, but I did take Cleveland because what I saw from Jacksonville last week, and I know you know the Steelers are a different animal right now. But what I saw from Jacksonville last week was unbelievably unimpressive. I did not like what I saw, especially if Jake Luton is getting another start. That's ugly stuff. How about the Raiders on the road at Atlanta? They are another road favorite by 355.5 is the over on that game.
Yeah, these Raiders are legit, which is crazy to think about. But they took the Chiefs to the brink again. Derek Carr, I saw, if you believe in PFF rankings, is the third-ranked quarterback since like week 4. Which is pretty wild to see.
He's throwing the ball downfield, which is that great. Was my gripe with
Nelson
them coming
Aguilar,
into the year.
Of all people. Nelson Aguilar, folks. Like, wow. So I like the Raiders, and this Atlanta team's putrid. Like, this would be the total thing Atlanta to do after last week could be to do this, but give me Las Vegas and give me the over. I think Atlanta at least shows up offensively because the Raiders do have holes in that defense, but they have a way more enough offense to make this happen. So Vegas, over.
Yeah, I took the under because of what I saw from Atlanta last week. That disgusted me.
A lot of it depends on Julio. If he's still not playing, that could change things a lot.
Yeah, he's got a hamstring injury. Julio usually toughs this up.
Yeah, he always has an injury.
He's a gamer for sure, so we'll see. How about the Los Angeles Chargers on the road against Buffalo? This one is interesting. Buffalo, finally we get a second home favorite, 5.5 point home favorite. 53.5 is the over in that game.
Another tricky one. Two good football teams, two good young quarterbacks. Chargers like to blow games. We saw last week they threw it and threw it and threw it and threw it instead of running it finally. Eckler's close to returning. But give me the Chargers to cover this game. Bills win. Chargers cover plus 5.5. And give me the over. I think this is one where two young guys kind of go back and forth for a bit, and Buffalo takes care of it late.
I took the Chargers in the under, but I'm not – that over-under I'm not very confident in. So, but all three of us, the Welsh also picked the Chargers, but I think Welsh is swooning over Justin Herbert a little bit. But
he
likes, I mean,
is he want to be on the next Proactive commercial or what?
Well, by the way, I do so many shows. What was the Marquise Brown joke you made last week? I can't even remember what it was.
Yeah, Quentin Tarantino made a movie about him once upon a time in Hollywood.
Yes. Good Lord. He dropped that ball so hard. How did if you're not a first round pick, you get cut dropping that ball. That was terrible this week. After whining and crying about not getting the ball. Anyway, we need to move on here. How about Miami? Another road favorite on the road against the Jets. 6.5 point favorite. 44.5 is the over, obviously. A quarterback situation going on, but you're playing the Jets. So what are you doing here?
Yeah, this one stinks, but I'm going to take the Jets plus 6.5. I was actually impressed what I saw last week. I know that the Dolphins defense is better than the Chargers, but they actually started moving the ball, realizing, oh wait, Denzel Mims is a good receiver. Jamison Crowder is getting healthy. Perryman, like they're getting weapons. Yeah. And Darnold's close. If Darnold plays, that helps a lot. Give me the Jets plus 6.5. If anything, the Dolphins can win big and I'll be happy. But give me the Jets plus 6.5. And I'm taking the over in this one.
Yeah, that's too low. 44.5 is too low for most games. This one, though, how about another road favorite, Bubba? The Giants on the road at the Bengals. Giants are 5-point road favorites, 42.5. And the NFC East team is favored on the road. Very strange, but it is 2020, like you mentioned before. Who are you taking in that one?
It's disgusting. I'm taking the Giants minus 5 off the bye week. this is horrible. Like, that is, if anybody hasn't seen Finley play quarterback for the Bengals, you'll understand why I took the Giants minus 5. Like, it's putrid. Off the bye week, their defense is actually half decent compared to the Cincinnati offensive line. Give me the Giants and give me the under in this game. I think it's just going to be an ugly, ugly football game.
Yeah, I took the over because I think the Giants might get a ton of turnovers. So
possibly.
Might
set possible.
Some short fields, but and 42.5 is low. But also, you know, the last game the Bengals played was 20-9 or whatever. Yeah,
the Bengals might not score.
Yeah, very true. Very true. How about Tennessee on the road against the Colts here? The Colts favored by 3.5 points. 50.5 is the over in Indianapolis.
Yeah, fun divisional game here. These are always a good one between these two. So give me Tennessee plus 3.5. I've been on them all year. I'm a big fan of what they did. I had them last week. They won outright. Very good football team. So give me Tennessee plus 3.5 in this one, and give me the over. I think it's a little back and forth, kind of what we saw from both teams last week. So Tennessee and the over.
Is you taking Tennessee, is that like me saying Benny Snell instead of Blake Snell? I mean, you're not a homer because they're not your team, but you love you some Ryan Tannehill.
I do love me some Ryan Tannehill. I love me some Derrick Henry running wild in overtime. I love me some Jonnu Smith and A.J. Brown. I'm really starting to like this Tennessee team. It's kind of scaring me.
Yeah, I mean, the Colts – I don't like Phillip Rivers, but geez, they just put together wins.
Shocked last week. I thought Green Bay was coasting to a W there, and then
that was my upset pick on Line Star. I picked Green Bay on this show too as part of my parlay. Like, it didn't make sense to me that the Colts were favored, but and JT running as well with all those rushing attempts. Yeah, so get Nyheim Hines out of there. How about the Saints on the road against Denver? How about another road favorite? 5.5-point road favorite, New Orleans. 44 is the over in this game. I hate this one. What are you doing here?
Yeah, I hate it too. And I'm taking Taysom Hill in New Orleans at minus 5.5. And I'm not happy about it, especially after what Denver just did to Miami. But I think that it's two different types of offenses, obviously. Taysom, they're going to slow it down. So give me New Orleans and give me the under 44 in this one.
Under. Okay. New Orleans and the under. How about San Francisco at LA? The Rams are, we get a home favorite here. 7-point home favorite, 45.5. Their favorite is the over in this game. How do you see this Rams and Niners game playing out?
I might be overreacting from their past game against the Bucks, but give me the Rams in this one. They're clicking again. They're using multiple receivers. They're looking very good. The Niners are super banged up. And Nick Mullins is not the answer. So give me the Rams and the over in this one.
Yeah, Welsh picked his Niners, which he doesn't tend to do because he's a bit of a masochist when it comes to them. But the Niners beat the Rams last time they played. Now, I think they're different teams. Yep. Jimmy G had 3 touchdowns. He's not in this game. George Kittle caught one of those. He's not in this game. But they are getting Ayuk back. They're getting Debo back. They're getting Mostert back. So they are going to be a better team. But the Rams are playing at a different level right now, so they're looking real good. How about another road favorite, Bubba? Kansas City on the road against Tampa. Kansas City 3.5-point road favorite. 55.5 is the over in that game.
Please flex this to Sunday night. Appreciate it in advance. this is begging you to take Tampa Bay because of the spread. I'm going to take Tampa Bay. Give me Tom Brady in a game against Mahomes. Awful loss to, I think Kansas City can still win this by a field goal. I'm not doubting that, but give me Tampa Bay to cover this, but give me the over more importantly. I think it's a very, very fun football game.
You know, they're never going to flex this game because Green Bay and Chicago have too many fans. So that one's never going to get flexed, but I agree with you that it should. Also, you know, someone brought up this point And I think it's absolutely true. Tom Brady didn't shake Jared Goff's hand after the game, which is such a, you know.
He hasn't shaken the hand of the opposing quarterback in any of the losses this year.
He's such a pansy about that. If Cam Newton was doing that, what do you think we'd be hearing right now? That would be half of what all radio talk shows are talking about this week.
Yep.
So, I don't know. Bad move, Brady. Let's go. Grow up. Be a man, for Christ's sake. How about Chicago at Green Bay? Green Bay is an 8.5-point home favorite on Sunday Night Football. No line on this because there is not an announced starter for the Bears. Not that it matters. I mean, whatever the thing is, I'd probably take the under. So how do you see this one going?
Green Bay. That's all I'm gonna say. Green Bay. Like, the Bears are such a travesty on offense right now. Just Green Bay.
Okay, so just Green Bay. All right. Yep. Well, look, we'll take it. The Monday Night Football game is I don't know, if you want to call it interesting, I guess. Seattle at Philly. How about another road favorite? Seattle by 551 is the over in this game. How do you see that one playing?
Yeah, Seattle games are always interesting. Lots of points. I'll take the over for starters. Carson Wentz has been atrocious, but it's just, you got this feeling guys are getting healthier, like we talked about last week. Give me Philadelphia plus 5 at home on Monday night with over 51.
All right. I mean, look.
I don't feel great about it. I don't feel great about it. I'll be honest right now, but give me Philly in the over.
Yeah, Philly, Carson Wentz leads the league in picks and fumbles. So that's brutal. There were questions, you know, they asked Doug Peterson if they're considering going to Jalen Hurts.
They should.
It's not surprising after watching Hurts or Wentz this year, but it is surprising. That's not something you would expect to have been asked at the beginning of the year. So I'm a little bit surprised by that, but that is going to wrap it up for the bets. When we come back after this break, we're going to get Bubba's 3-team parlay and he's going to have to pick one. We got to hit one of these ITL parlays at some point this year. Right now, Welsh has Seattle minus 5. I took Seattle minus 6.5 or Cleveland minus 6.5 against Jacksonville because I do not like what I saw from them. So we're going to get your pick and your other two. It's In This League on the Sports Grid. We'll be right back after this.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In This League.
I thought we were going to be just friends.
What? Friends listen to
In This League.
In the dark.
Welcome back, everybody. You hear Endless Love. You guys know what that means. It's the end of the 3-hour tour of In This League on the Sports Grid and the Mightier 1090 in San Diego. We are hoping that you guys had a great holiday, and we look forward to that surge to the playoffs in fantasy football. So please stick with us. Follow us on Twitter at Bogman Sports for me, at BDN Trick for Casey Bubba, at Is It the Welsh for the Welsh. Time to pick a parlay, Bubba. What is your 3-team parlay going to be for week 12?
It's an ugly week. I'll tell you that right out the gate. I don't feel comfortable in a lot of picks this week, but I like Minnesota minus 4.5. I'm very happy and big on Minnesota in that game versus Carolina. I like Las Vegas minus 3 in a big way. I think they can take care of business against Atlanta. And then the over 45.5 in the Rams Niners game.
So the Rams, Welsh took that one too. So I think that is that the only Welsh took Seattle, Miami, and San Francisco Rams over. I took Cleveland, Seattle, KC. You're taking Minnesota, Las Vegas, and the San Francisco Rams over. Which one are you adding to that parlay? This will go with Seattle minus 5, Cleveland minus 6.5.
Minnesota minus 4.5.
Minnesota minus 4.5 is your lock of the century of the week.
Yes, lock it up.
lock it up.
Chris Berman lockup style.
Your favorite Thanksgiving Day football memory?
The Dolphins winning in a snowy game in Dallas.
Oh,
the Leon Lett fumble, that good stuff.
The Leon Lett fumble, that is that is it.
Because my mom's a Cowboys fan too, so it's great.
Oh, got her. The one I remember the most is the coin flip game in Detroit for Pittsburgh.
Ooh, yeah,
yeah, because I definitely screamed the F word in the middle of my family, and they were not happy about that. I mean, the Lions just took the ball, went right down the field, and kicked the field goal, and it was over. Luckily, we don't have those rules anymore. But I mean, I think Randy Moss carving up the Cowboys was a fun one too on Thanksgiving. So, but that is going to wrap it up for us. I hope you all had a great weekend. We will be back next week. Take it easy, everybody, and we will see you next week.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.